Well, the whole long-running Israeli-Palestinian drama that we've just been describing collided with the newly unfolding one, you might say, that around the presidency of Donald Trump. And one of the real lightning rods, as you know, concerns this relationship between him and his intelligence agencies. Well, as it happens, this week the Lowy Institute hosted the former acting director of the CIA, Michael Morell, in a public forum, displaying a rare candor, in my judgment, in the way to describe the way in which long-term intelligence operatives perceive the world and the material collected by people in the field. I went along to this forum and heard Mr. Morell, who'd been in the intelligence field for over three decades. He was there with George W. Bush when September the 11th happened, likewise with Barack Obama in the sit room, as he called it, when Osama bin Laden was killed in May 2011. For context, I should add that Michael Morell wrote a public article in the New York Times saying that Hillary Clinton should win the White House. So here now is an edited extract of a discussion between Michael Morell and the Lowy Institute's director, Michael Fullilove, first to his insights into the intelligence world and how they relate to President Trump and President Vladimir Putin.
So in the intelligence world, there are witting agents. There are people who know that they are doing something on your behalf. And there are unwitting agents. There are people who are doing something on your behalf and they don't really know they're doing something on your behalf. What I saw early last summer was a former Russian intelligence officer, Vladimir Putin, trained in identifying people's vulnerabilities, trained in taking advantage of those vulnerabilities. I saw Vladimir Putin say some remarkably positive things about Donald Trump. He will be a great leader, he will be a great president, he's been a good businessman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What I thought I saw, what I still think I saw, was Vladimir Putin identifying the president's narcissism, the president's ego, and playing to it, and knowing that he would get a positive response. And he did. Donald Trump did not focus on Russia, didn't say anything about Russia, didn't say anything about Vladimir Putin until Putin said positive things about him. And then all of a sudden, President Trump is saying all sorts of positive things about Vladimir Putin, is saying things like, we shouldn't mind particularly that he took Crimea. I mean, remarkable things from a U.S. policy perspective. So that's what I meant, is that Putin saw the narcissism, played to it, got Trump to respond. That's what I meant by unwitting agent.
One of the things that at the Institute we are trying to do is to really to look through the noise and see the signal with some of these moves by President Trump and work out what is genuinely unprecedented and what is new versus what is something he's doing that's a bit unusual and his critics don't like. So how would you interpret the kind of role that you mentioned in your opening remarks, Steve Bannon, is having in the conduct of foreign and national security policy so far? Is this unprecedented and is it undesirable? Is it something that we should be anxious about, that we have a political advisor, and especially one who holds some of the views that you mentioned, in these inner councils? Or actually, should we chill out about this development?
My view is that politics is not welcome in the room, ever. In my experience, politics has never been in the room except once. We can talk about that if you want. But in my experience, politics is not there, politics is not welcome. Political people are not welcome. And so I believe it is highly inappropriate for Steve Bannon to be a permanent member of the Principals Committee of the National Security Council. I have no idea what the president was thinking when he appointed him, when he signed off on whatever order it was. It was another situation where I think Mike Flynn should have taken a leadership role and said, no, Mr. President, that's not how we do things. I think Jim Mattis and Rex Tillerson should have done the same thing. So I don't see it as appropriate, and I actually see it as dangerous, because you don't want politics to be influencing national security policy in any way.
I think I will have to ask you about that one occasion when politics entered the Situation Room, or the audience.
It was a debate over the Bin Laden raid, right? Whether we should go in on circumstantial evidence. What was at the end of the day, the president would tell you it was a 50-50 case that whether Bin Laden was there or not at this compound in Abbottabad. And one of the participants, that I will keep from you, one of the participants made the argument that if the American people knew what we know and we don't act, you know, they would have our heads. So that was a political argument. That was a political argument. It was the first time I'd ever heard a political argument in the sit room.
And how was it resolved?
Well, you know how it was resolved. We went in and got them.
All right, let me ask you about the question of how free societies can defend themselves from foreign interference. Yeah. Obviously, we know, well, there's been an enormous debate that everybody in the room is aware of about the Russian attempts to interfere in your presidential election. So let me ask you two questions. First of all, what do you make of that story? How consequential were those attempts to interfere with the presidential election? And secondly, at the broader level, what can countries like the United States and Australia do to better protect ourselves from that kind of foreign interference?
It's a great question. So I think the Russians did, and this is the public view of the U.S. intelligence community, right? There's a declassified report which you can go to the internet and you can read. The Russians did three things. Number one, the Russians used cyber espionage to steal information and then give that information to organizations to put in the public domain information that was damaging to Secretary Clinton. That's the commonly known one, right? But they did two other things as well. One of the other things they did was to both create fake news and then to amplify that fake news through social media. That may, at the end of the day, have been more effective in altering the outcome of the election than stealing the information from the Democratic National Committee and John Podesta and putting it in the public domain. And then the third thing they did is they attempted to access voting machines via cyber with the intent of playing with the tally. Now, they weren't successful. They weren't successful because for the vast majority of these voting machines were not connected to the internet. And the ones that were properly defended. I don't think you can overstate the significance of this. And I don't think it's gotten enough attention in my own country. This is a major power in the world trying to influence the outcome of an election in another major power. I think the sanctions that were, I think the largely sanctions, but a couple of other steps that the Obama administration took were, in my view, weak. In my view, did not force Putin to pay a high enough price. In terms of your question about the ultimate effectiveness, we'll never know. But when you lose by 70,000 votes in three states, pretty much everything you did matters, right? Pretty much everything you did is potentially dispositive. So I mean, there's an argument you can make here that the Russians did indeed influence the outcome of the election. But as I said, we'll never know for sure. But in terms of going forward, I was and remain a supporter of a presidential commission to look into this. This is something that has bipartisan support among a small number of senators and congressmen. The commission would do two things. The commission would look at exactly what happened here. Exactly what did the Russians do? What I described to you is what we know they did. That's the piece of the iceberg above the water. What did they do that we didn't see? What more digging do we need to do? What more intelligence collection do we need to do to figure this out, right? So one is exactly what did they do and how did they do it? And two is, how do we prevent it from happening again in two respects? One is, how do we better defend ourselves, right, both in terms of cybersecurity and what do we do about this social media problem we have with the ability of a nation state or even a well-resourced organization to amplify news, right, by pushing out hundreds of thousands of social media posts. So how do we better defend ourselves against that? And then how do we create deterrence with regard from somebody trying to do this to us? So how do we deter Russia from ever doing this again? Right? Those are the two fundamental questions that need to be asked and answered, and I'm concerned that neither one of them is going to be addressed.
Well, that's the former acting director of the CIA, Michael Morell, in conversation with Michael Fullilove from the Lowy Institute. And for that full discussion, listen out for Big Ideas coming up on RN, and read Tom Friedman this week too. He's been writing about exactly this.